Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for the time to be able to worship you. Never take it for granted that you allow us to come into such presence, such awe. You are an awesome God, a wonderful God, a magnificent God. And we say thank you for loving us the way you have chosen to love us. So Lord, we pray for continued blessings and continued anointing and continued outpouring of your spirit upon our lives, Lord. We open our hearts to receive. And I ask that you just bless me with a word in season that's specific to the group of individuals here in this building that are watching online. So Lord, we ask that you have your way. We say thank you for what you have done. We say thank you for what you are currently doing in the lives of these individuals, in the minds and in the hearts. And so Lord, I pray for an expectation for what you're about to do. So I ask that you have your way. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. Wow, God is so good. God is so good. And one of the things I do is, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to minister for the individuals? And sometimes my messages on Sunday is the outpouring of my studies during the week. You know, it's something that God is dealing with me personally. And so I'm gonna talk about it today. And today's message is the necessity of pruning. The necessity of pruning. You know, if you understand that, so I, once again, say to your neighbor, say, neighbor. Pruning is a necessity. So the process of pruning is necessary for you in your life as an individual. And why? Because I'm going through my own pruning time as well. I'm dealing with issues that are, you know, not issues with individuals. Because when we prune, when things are pruned in our lives, there's a change. Yeah, there we go. Write this down. If you might be familiar with this, Dr. Nard teaches us, we live life on levels and we arrive in stages. And at each level that we move to, and each stage that we move to, there's always a process of pruning that leads us to the next stage in our life, next level in our life. So the necessity of pruning is something that has to be embraced instead of fighting. Another thing we're gonna talk about today is that we understand that pruning hurts. Say to your neighbor, say neighbor, find another neighbor, say another neighbor. Another neighbor. Pruning hurts.
Pruning hurts.
But it's okay.
It's okay.
It's a necessity. Let's go to John chapter 15. And this is Jesus talking, because it's in red. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We're gonna define what does that mean when it comes into this idea of pruning. He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So, lesson number one, pruning is necessary. Lesson number two, pruning hurts. Lesson number three, pruning promotes growth. Pruning promotes growth. And even Jesus goes through the process of pruning. So he says, Jesus is, and what happens is, you got Jesus explaining that about the process of pruning and the necessity of pruning. And the ironic thing is, even Jesus realizes that he has to go through a process of pruning. And he refers to God as a vine dresser. Let's look at what does vine dresser mean. No matter of fact, let's go and see what does pruning mean. And I'll give you some basic definitions to help you understand where I'm going with this. Number one, definition number one says, to trim a tree, a shrub, or a brush, or a bush, by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems. See, definitions are crucial so you can go where I'm going. Dead or overgrown, to cut away dead or overgrown Am I going somewhere? Or are we starting to think about our life and what we've been dealing with? Because some of us try to hold on or try to revive something that we know is dead. So he says to trim by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth. Some of us are wondering, why are we not growing? Why are we stagnant in where we are in our life? And there's some cutting away that's necessary, but you're worried about cutting away because it might hurt. And remember, we talked about a couple of weeks ago that pain is a necessity as well. All good growth comes by some way of pain. You know, I forget the individual who said it. He said, everybody suffers pain. Either the pain of regret or the pain of discipline. Number two, second definition, I came across this. Pruning is a practice. Say practice.
Practice.
And what did Marcus Gill do? Right? Oh, y'all weren't with me last week? Say practice.
Practice.
Oh, that does work. It's a practice involving the selective removal of certain parts of a plant, such as branches, buds, or roots. And I'm going somewhere with this because why are we talking about pruning? Because there's some things that you need to prune in your life. There's some things that we need to actually come to a realization that there's got to be some cutting away. And it's a practice. So it doesn't happen. Pruning is a lifelong process. So he says a practice, and we got to cut certain things away, and it's specific things. Number three, definition number three for pruning. It is a strategic cut that will lead to growth and fruitfulness. And you got two types of pruning. You got two types of pruning. You got pruning number one, which is natural pruning, called storms. I thought that was profound when I read it. I'm like, wow, storms. Because we as individuals, we hate storms. And we get mad when it seems like there's a storm in our life and the wind is blowing and there's a lot of uprising of air and we're getting shaken and stuff like that. But some of you, because you're not doing it naturally, you need some unnatural storms in your life that's shaking some things. And one of the things that what happens when you have an a natural storm in your life that's shaking your tree, it actually ends up breaking off the dead branches. And the thing about it is, this is the type of machine that needs to be used for some overgrown, unpruned stuff in your life.
Yes, sir.
See, because some of you come across your garden called life, and the only way to really use this is to hack away at things. See, and when you're talking about pruning, remember I said it's a selective style, but some of you individuals in your life, you start hacking away at things. And this is one of the things that caused the most trauma between this one and this one. See, but what happens is when you get let me define vine dresser so you can see where I'm going with this. Because I got all of these different props. You say, Lord, have mercy. But some of you are chainsawing your life through yourself through life. And the damage and the noise that it makes when you're going through the process of pruning draws so much attention to you, and you start, a vine dresser, write this down, is the person who prunes, trains, and cultivates vines. He prunes and trains and cultivates. See, because some individuals, there's not too much training a vine you can do with this. There's not too much cultivating that you can do with this. And that's why I love when God said Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and he goes through a process of pruning whatever is bearing fruit so they can bear more fruit. See, a vine dresser, when he looks at it, a vineyard, a vine, a grapevine, goes through a process of bearing fruit. And there's a season where it goes to rest. And when the grapevine is at rest, that's where it gets 90% of its structure pruned. 90% of the structure that's pruned. And a vine dresser comes in, and see, the thing about it, what I love about it, because you can come across and you start, you're going through, right? How many of us look at our bushes and be like, I'm just going. Huh? I got my bushes. Then there's that one bush you're looking at it like, right? I'm the only one. And then my wife comes out and says, what happened to that tree? I'm like, your wife never came out and asked you what happened to that bush or that tree? I'm like, with some anger, you know? But then what happens is, then you get the vine dresser, right? And he comes into your life because remember, he's skilled at this. He's trained. He knows exactly what needs to be cut, when to cut it, where to cut it. See, but he doesn't use tools like this because to me, this is impersonal. Right? To me, this is impersonal. It's intimidating. You tell me you care for me, but this is the device you're going to use to prune me? And then sometimes, like me, I was pruning. And I cut the cord. So you saw the spark. And my wife said, what happened? I said, nothing. And she, I'm trying to get it back together, get my electric tape. So like, she said, what are you doing? I said, nothing. See, but once again, let's go back to the definition of a vine dresser. The vine dresser is the person who prunes, trains, and cultivates the vines. So God is the ultimate vine dresser. And what he does is he looks at his tools and he looks at the condition. And he says, I'm gonna get personal with this, because if you really get a person who's really good at pruning, they're taking their time with every aspect of the vine, every aspect of the tree. And when they see and they're looking and they step back and they look from a macro view at what's going on with the tree. And then he comes in into a micro view and starts coming away with the branches, and he does it such a nice way. You ever see a person pruning correctly? Okay, Karate Kid. How many of you guys saw Karate Kid? With the original Mr. Miyagi, not Jackie Chan, but you know, wax on, wax off, paint the fence, stay on the floor, get my chores done around the house, Mr. Miyagi. And when he had the bonsai tree, right? Because he loved that tree. He appreciated the process it went through to grow it, to get it to a place where it's gorgeous and beautiful. And when you see him, he's not with his chainsaw. And he's looking at the each leaf, and he's gently removing. Because he understands that pruning is actually trauma to the tree. So the methodology that you use to prune the tree determines the longevity of the life of that tree. So now God is looking at us as individuals. And he says, look, I'm getting up close and personal. Remember, I said that's the significance about our God and any other God. He's personal. And he looks at Jamal Bernard. He says, no, Jamal Bernard, you're growing a little out of control. Let's go over some reasons why this pruning. Number one, the removal of dead wood. Dead wood. Why do we remove dead wood? Because it actually can hurt somebody when it falls. Try this again. Make this personal. Why do we need to remove dead wood? Because it'll hurt somebody when it falls. And some of us have some dead wood in our lives. And we're trying to enter certain relationships. And without removing that dead wood, the potential for that dead wood to fall and hurt. Okay. Yeah. Number two, there's pruning because they want to shape the tree. And shaping really means to control or redirect its growth. So like I said, Jesus, God's looking at us saying, you're growing lovely, but I need to shape you a little bit. I need to redirect your growth. So it goes through the process, this little snip right there. Number three. Pruning, the reason why they prune is to increase the productivity of the thing that they're pruning. To increase the productivity. A great vineyard, I was reading up on, while I was getting prepared for this. They said a grape vine can produce fruit even if it's not pruned. But the problem with it is like if it's not pruned, it takes longer to produce the fruit, so it doesn't produce in the right season. You understand? And what God wants us to make sure that we know, that, because remember, God wants us to bear fruit. Remember, God's nature is love, life and light. So if God's nature is love, then God's framework on interacting with us and even pruning us comes out of love. You know, that remember I said there's four things that we have to be convinced of, that God loves us, that God created us for a purpose, that God designed us for achievement and fulfillment, and number four, that he believes in us. So when he's going through the process of pruning, he wants to make sure that we are bearing fruit in the right season. See, because a grape vineyard will bear fruit a little later, and what happens to the fruit is not as sweet. It becomes actually sour. Yes. So you end up getting sour fruit. But what God wants to do is say, no, if the longer it takes for you to bear fruit, the more likely it'll be sour. And all of us are designed to bear fruit in our lives. We are designed to be productive. We're designed to have a way of life. But some of us are hindering that because we're fighting the pruning process. See, because if you prune too much, and this is why it has to be an expert. This is why I love how God interacts with us, because if you prune too much, you can kill the tree. If you prune too little, you can mess up the fruit. So you have to learn how to prune correct and right timing and the right location. You know, sometimes a branch might grow out of control and start going this way, and God says, no, come back. Or sometimes, you know, this is I got this. Let me see if I can say this correctly. Because this is the way I got it. They prune the branches that block the majority of the tree from the sun. Oh, man. He prunes the branches that block the majority of the tree from the sun. God will prune the branches in your life that blocks the majority of your tree from the sun. And I'm not talking about the S-U-N. I'm talking about the capital S-O-N. So the measure of growth to me is determined by a couple of things. Number one, your pruning process. How strategic are you being pruned? How consistent are you being pruned? Number two, your pain tolerance. How much pain can you endure? Your pain threshold puts a limitation on your growth. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, get the message a couple of weeks ago. I talked about it. See, because the most important process any plant can go through is pruning. We as individuals, we have to stop treating our garden and interacting with this type of material. I mean, this type of tool. Some of us, we have to stop coming through with a chainsaw. You know? I was gonna turn it on, but they said, no, don't turn it on in here. Get it going for real effect. This is not the tools that you should be using. If you need to go big, you know, maybe something like this, you know, really. But this is where you should be in your life. Observing and allowing certain things to get cut off or cut out of our life. We know what's dead within our life. We know where we can bear more fruit. But some of us is scared of that. But this, when God is in God's hands, this sound leads to a more fruitful life. As we self-reflect throughout this week, what is it that we need to get rid of in our life? What is that we need to add on to our life? What do we need to start cultivating? Because we can see growth, but growth is good when it's growing in the right direction. See, because some people get excited because they have growth, but growth out of control is not good growth. All growth should be targeted and specific. And a part of that is allowing the pruning process to happen in your life. I didn't like the pruning process at some time because some people are like, nah, that's my man's, God. That's I've grown up with them. I've known them from young. They got to let it go. You know, or you got the other end where you got the individuals that they've sat in pain so long. They sat in hurt so long. They sat in anger so long. They sat in bitterness so long that they find it so comfortable. It feels good to be at this place of anger. Like, I feel better angry at the world. I feel better in my place of bitterness. I feel better in this place because this is all I know right now. See, for some of those, you might have to go to that chainsaw. Because the other part of pruning that they tell you that they prune is not just the branches, but it's also a pruning process to the roots. Where they dig out and check the roots and make sure the roots are strong enough. And whatever root is not bearing fruit, meaning or grabbing up enough nutrients, they cut it off. See, some of us have to let go of some stuff. And sometimes it's better you feel to be in that place. But you can't have growth in a place of bitterness. You can't have growth in a place of anger. Remember, every answer God has for you comes by way of a relationship. And if you're sitting in a place of bitterness, it's going to be very hard for you to establish good relationships. If you're an angry person, how many of us like to work with an angry person? I'm like, no, that person's angry. They got anger issues. How many of us like to work with a bitter person? How many of us like to work with a negative person? Everything's gonna go bad. This is gonna end up bad. This is gonna happen bad. You know, my day's gonna be bad. I'm gonna wake up and look, I woke up out of bed and my slippers weren't where it's supposed to be. It's gonna be a bad day. There's some things you need to start cutting off. There's some mindsets that we need to change. I was talking to some of the youth. We were on our way out to the picnic yesterday, which was a nice day. It was hot, but we had fun. And I said, that translation of the Bible thing is Romans 12:2. He says, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the basic principle for that is everybody only thinks to the level that they're exposed to. That's why if you're the richest person in your group, get a new group. If you're the smartest person in your group, get a new group. Because we only think to the level that we're exposed to. And what I'm trying to do is expose you to another level of thinking. My dad said, he says, thinking gets you nowhere. So when we look at where we want to go, let's look at what is the pruning process we need to go through. Because everybody needs to be pruned. The question is, are you ready for it? I pray that you got something out of this. The scary thing about it is, when we let our garden run wild, it actually becomes an ugly garden. And nobody wants to visit an ugly garden. You pass through a forest and the forest is gorgeous, but you see everything going crazy and growing out of control, stuff like that. But then you go to botanical gardens with the same plants in it, but it's something about a nice organized garden, a nice setup where things are in place and things are in order, and things are pruned correctly. You say, wow, the beauty in this. It's nice when you have natural nature, untouched by man. But there's something about a nice, clean garden. People want to go there. You wonder why people aren't coming in out of your life? Check your garden. Let's stand up. One of the biggest things I try to discern at the end of the service, okay, Lord, what path or what direction you want this service to go in. Today I'm led to do an altar call. An altar call is twofold. One, if you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't know what I mean, I'm talking to you. Number two, if you are going through a process where you're fighting your pruning process, I'm talking to you. I want to come and stand in the gap with you. And repeat after me. Say, Lord, I'm here. Naked and unashamed. I'm done fighting. I'm done running. I'm done dodging. But I'm here. I allow my heart to be your garden. I will allow myself to go through the pruning process. Take it easy on me, Lord, as I submit to you. Be gentle, Lord. I'm yours. Everything I am, everything I'm not, the good, the bad, the ugly, I'm yours, Lord. Prune me as you see fit. I want to bear fruit for you. Thank you, Lord. I surrender totally to you today, right now, right here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father God, bless these individuals. Lord, give us the strength to walk this Christian life. Give us the strength to walk this life, not just navigate through society, navigate through culture, but Lord, walk in such a boldness, unapologetically, that we are Christians representing you, Christ followers, Christ ambassadors. Touch us with a word in season to speak to somebody that needs you. Let us be the hope dealers you have sanctioned us to be. So Lord, I ask that you watch over us. We pray for our loved ones, individuals that we have on our hearts that we're worried about, whether it's health issues, mental issues, financial issues. Lord, we bring it to the table right now and ask that you have your way. We pray for traveling mercies as we leave this place whenever your presence. We say thank you for who you are, what you are. And we stand in a peace that we know that you are in control. And we say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, say it like we mean it.
This Bible
is our primary source of faith. Y'all sound like y'all about to start speaking in tongues.
This Bible
is our primary source of faith.
This Bible
is our rule of conduct.
This Bible
creates the lens that we see life through. As we leave this place, whenever God's presence, Jesus is Lord, period. We believe it, we proclaim it, and we're seeing it come to pass. God bless and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Stay cool.